Back in our subject of mountain moving faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today I went and sat down and listened to last week's. And I was listening to last week's and I'm thinking, you know, listening over those things. I don't know. They just blessed me listening over those teachings again. Just listening to all the scriptures and thinking about meditating on the scriptures and stuff that we read last week and went through. And I was just thinking about thinking, you know, all the years I've heard these things and boy, they just sound good again. You go through them again. Just encourage us. Because really, the scriptures, when you go over to areas and start talking about faith, it is phenomenal what the Bible says about it. It is incredible. Because, you know, when you look back, if we take the things of faith and look back over in the scriptures of the people that are laid out in the scriptures for us, the things, the men and women who walked, the things that they did, and they're all people who walked in faith with God, and the most phenomenal things happened. God did the most incredible things because people walked with faith. And one of the things that really is interesting because he took people sometimes that were, you know, just obscure. But they walked by faith in what God could do with those individuals and the things that... It is incredible. So a lot of people think, you know, that God looks out over here and he just decides to pick a person and I'm just going to use that guy. You know, God... And people need to understand this. God has wanted to use a lot of people and a lot of things, but never has been able to. Because it doesn't matter if God chooses a person. That person must walk by faith. So God can fulfill his plan through them. Because there's no other way to do it. They're going to have to obey him by faith. And so another thing is to understand that God is looking for someone that he can use, not just someone he would just like to use. That doesn't do good. You know, in life, there's somebody you'd like to, you know, have known or liked to, but, you know, the cooperation out there, it never will work. And we need to understand that's the way it is with God. God looks down the earth at all his children. And I'm sure he's had greater plans than maybe a lot of us we've fulfilled, but nonetheless, he looks down through and he'll go as far and work in us as far as we'll walk with him in faith. Hallelujah. And I love the subject of faith because I like faith from this standpoint because I can do it. I don't have to be a genius. I don't have to be a rocket scientist. Faith is made for anyone. In fact, the Bible leaves the idea that God says God hasn't chosen many of the brilliant guys or anything else. The whole reason he hasn't, you got to watch yourself as being a big thinker. Because you get over and start doing too much of your own thinking, it's so easy to get away from faith. Faith is such really a simple subject, and it's made for the simple. And we titled this Mountain Moving Faith, and I said in the beginning, when we use the type of mountain moving faith, we're not talking about extraordinary faith. The faith of God is mountain moving faith. The seed of faith is mountain-moving faith, is what it is. And there, every believer has the seed of mountain-moving faith because it's just the way that we walk and what we do. Jesus didn't tell the disciples in Mark 11:23 that it required a special faith to move the mountain. He said, all you have to do is you believe in your heart, and then you say, without any doubting, and you say it, he said, it's going to come to pass. To me, every time I read Mark 11:23, it still astounds me. It always astounds me because I look at it and think, my God, this is phenomenal. So one thing is I got on meditating on today and I got thinking about, and I want to say this, because dealing in the subject of faith, and this isn't direct with my teaching here, but I want to bring this out because so many people, we look at faith as in the way is we're trying to get God to do something. You need to understand that's not faith. You're not trying to get God to do something. You're not moving God so he'll make something happen. Faith is about this. When Jesus said in Mark 11:22, he said, have faith in God or have the faith of God. The faith of God will cause the mountain to move, not trying to get God to move. In actuality, you cause the mountain to move. You do. God gave his word to us. When the word is given to you, the word is given to us, we're given, in a sense, through the word, the ability of God. In the word is the ability of God. That's what's in the word. If you believe it, then God's ability. That's what grace is about. Grace is given. You know, people think about grace and what grace is. Grace is God's ability that works on our behalf. That's what it is. You got saved by grace. How did you get saved by grace? Through faith. Your faith caused you to be saved. How many times did Jesus say to people, your faith made you whole? He didn't say, I made you whole. He didn't say, God made you whole. Now, we know from this standpoint, it was because of God's word and God giving men faith that man could have been healed or could have been saved. But the actual reality would be this. Now, let's say I wanted to dig a hole out here somewhere, and I would say Conrad would be on a backhoe. So, and I would come to Conrad and I'd say, Conrad, can I borrow your backhoe? I'd like to dig a hole out here. And Conrad said, sure, take it. You can use it. Let me, you know, just go and you take it. And I go take it out here and I dig a hole. I don't go tell people that Conrad dug me a hole out here. Yet it was his backhoe. But I dug the hole with it. You need to understand, when you take God's word and you do something with it through believing in your heart, speaking in your mouth, it's you bringing it to pass. Understand, it wouldn't have been brought to pass without you. See, how many times have you heard people say, well, it's all God? That's not true at all. It doesn't work that way. God gives you his ability. He said, here it is. This is in my word. The word says, you know, by his stripes you were healed. Okay, if I believe that, I take his word on the subject, I must put it in my spirit. He don't put it in my spirit. I do. I believe it and not doubt it. He don't do that. I speak it and I bring it to pass. It comes to pass. It's the power of God working me. The word of God is his power. The Holy Spirit backs the word up. That's what he does. But it's God's power, but it's me taking it and putting it to use. We're going to later on teach on the parable of the talent. The parable of the talent is about guys who took something that God gave them and put it to use. And they were rewarded for them doing it. They didn't, you know, the guy come back and isn't the idea that God did it. No, they did it. Now, understand this. I understand the fact, yes, without God we couldn't have done it. Well, no, we're using his power. But we need to understand this. God gives us his power. He says, here it is. See, we have the idea that we're asking God to do this, then he comes and he does it. This is why it don't work for people. That's why it don't work. Because people are trying to operate in faith, getting God to do what they do. It's what we do. My spirit, the human spirit, was created by God to believe his word and to take that word and put it into the voice of the human voice to bring it to pass. That's what God did. That's the way it's designed. Your human spirit has been designed. You were born again, thank God. Now, we look at what men did in the scriptures who weren't born again just by believing the word of God. But you and I, really, our human spirit is, how would you say, the greatest incubator of the word of God there is, because it's created in the nature of God, no longer has a sin nature. And when you and I believe the word, and we don't doubt it, and we put it on voice and begin to act on it, it's the most powerful thing that can take place. In the earth, the most powerful thing that could ever happen is a believer believing the word and speaking it out. Because Jesus said, doing that, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, an atomic bomb can't do all things. We say it has a lot of power. It is nothing to the human spirit. It's nothing to the human spirit. All things aren't impossible are possible to an atomic bomb. All it can do is destroy stuff. It can't do any more than that. And I want you to think about that. You're taking God through his word. If you believe God's word, it is no more than taking what God has given to you, the gift of that word, taking it and putting it in your spirit, believing it and not doubting it, and then speaking that, bringing things to pass. God has in this earth to bring whatever you want to bring to pass. Remember we read where Jesus had said with the disciples, and you know, he told the disciples, you know, whatever thing you ask and you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. He didn't say whatever thing I want you to have. He didn't do that. Before in our teaching and that stuff, I talked about Randall Greer on some of our other teaching, where Randall Greer came along and was of God for an airplane. He's asking God about what kind of airplane he ought to believe for. And God said, you go find out what... The Lord said, you go find out. He said, I don't need an airplane. You do. You need the airplane. You find out what you need. And whatever you can believe in your heart and not doubt, he said, and you can believe it, it's yours, and receive it, he said, you'll have that plane. Well, Randall Greer got an exact plane of what he said, down the T, the instrument, stuff that he wanted in it, and all that kind of stuff. But the Lord told him, I don't want a plane, you do. You believe the type that you want. You believe. In other words, there's a power that's in our hands that's not God's, and the church keeps shoving it over to God, and we wonder why faith don't work, because we're not really using faith. We're using what we think is faith. And I was sort of meditating on this today, and it reminded me back, because one of the things that really helped me when I first started off is a thing. I got a revelation. When I started off, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin tapes about, you know, he was teaching on the areas of faith, and I had gotten a series where he did a bit of testimony about his life as growing up and him being sick and then getting healed. And the thing that really was totally remarkable to me was something the Lord said to him when he was 16 years old, on the day he got off the deathbed. It was that day. And the Lord said something to him. And he made a statement to the Lord. He said, Lord, he said, I believe what your word says. You know, the Bible says that by his stripes, you know, you're healed. And he said, Mark 11:23, and he quoted Mark 11:23 and 24. And he said, the Lord about, I believe here, if you said I wasn't believing you, he said, I'd have to call you a liar. I know I'm believing. And he made this statement. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said to him, yes, you believe as far as you know. And that really struck me. I can still remember that I got a revelation that day, is where people miss it. Because people believe up to point, they think they're believing many times and are not. They've had some teaching around about faith, and they think they're doing it. And I've watched this thing many times going along, a person, and then the Lord spoke to him because he had never believed he received it. He was believing that God was going to do it for him, but he had never believed he received it. And the Lord took him to Mark 11:24 and said, told him to read that scripture, and he read it over a couple of times. The Lord kept saying, you go on and read it. And all of a sudden it dawned on him, he had never believed he had received his healing. So see, he had never, as far as he understood, he thought he was in faith. He thought he was believing God, but he really wasn't. And when the Lord gave him that revelation, and he said, well, now, Lord, he said, I know what the scripture says. And he said, I believe that now I receive my healing. And the Lord said, yep, you're right. Now you're in faith. You believe. And then the Lord said this to him, at 11 o'clock in the morning, what are you doing in the bed? People are healed, aren't in bed. Further revelation. He never had that revelation. Most people that talk about healing never get that revelation. They'll still act as sick as they can. They keep acting. Their actions don't correspond. But see, as far as the Lord says, as far as you know, you're believing. And this is why, you know, the thousands and thousands of times that I listened on faith teaching of Kenneth Hagin and read books and stuff, because I would come to a point, I would believe so far, and I think, well, you know, I pretty well got it. I'd sit down and listen again, and every time I listen, it's like, wow, I didn't quite have that one before. That I see something else. I see something else about this. This is why you don't sit in a place and just get faith right off the bat and just bang, I got it. There's revelation in this thing, and there's further revelation. God did things for me as going along, and I learned after a few years that God did a number of things for me. It wasn't because I was fully in faith. He was helping me along to get to a place. And I know this today. God would not allow me to stand in areas I stood before. I couldn't get it done doing that. He wouldn't allow that. But I want you to understand that. The biggest problem that many people run into, they think they've arrived. They think they've arrived. And you know what? I've watched people do that. And you know what? They never go anywhere. They because they think, I know, but they cannot get it to work. They'll say, what's the matter? Why? And there's people that I have sat down personally with, and I told them, I said, as far as you know, you're believing. That's but you don't know it all. You don't know. You don't know enough yet. People think they know. You don't want to come. You want to get to that place. And that's why as you get revelation, as you come along, and like there's some things and areas that I walk by faith, and I have to remember, and even in teaching, that there's things that that seem pretty common to me, but they're not common to everybody. And that's why I was talking about things. I was just meditating today, and I was thinking about the fact of understanding about faith operating, because we always get this thing of teaching that, you know, well, it's God. You know, God's going to make this happen. No, he did. He gave you the word for you to make it happen. And when the woman with the issue of blood came, he said, your faith made you whole. Your faith did. Her faith did. It was her faith. Because God gives faith, but you're the one that has to mature it. You're the one that has to develop it. He doesn't. He can help you. The Holy Spirit will help to teach you to do it. But you're developing your faith, and your faith will make it work. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not being egotistical or leaving God out. I know full well without God, I could have never got into that. I know that. My words. So it's not leaving God out of this thing, and we're not trying to become God. We can't. If he don't give revelation from his word, our faith don't develop. Let's get real about it. But we receive what God gives us. When you receive the faith that God gives you, that's the receiving the grace of God. You know, the Bible says that some people receive the grace of God in vain. They don't do nothing with it. Faith comes. I know people turn around and have sat under great teaching and have done nothing with it, and they've received the grace of God in vain. They don't ever live in it or walk in it. They'll say, I believe it's true. Yeah, well, it don't matter if you believe it's true. What are you confessing and doing? Well, if you're not confessing and doing it, to believe it don't matter. It doesn't. It's like a man that believes that Jesus is Lord but never confesses him as Lord and everything. Well, he'll end up in hell believing what the truth was. But you don't get saved just because you believe it's true. It's putting that thing to work. It's using it like it says to do with it. So that's what we do. We need to understand that. See, Kenneth Hagin had never done what the Word says, a young boy. He had never confessed that he believed he was he received his healing. So he had never done Mark 11:24, but yet he thought he did. He thought he had. Till he saw it. He said, oh man, I never believed I received it. And he said, Lord, I believe I received my healing. And he said, I'm believing now, Lord. And the Lord spoke to him and said, yes, you're right, you are believing. And then the Lord got him again. He said, well, if you believe you're healed, he said, to heal people in bed at 11 o'clock in the morning. Oh, my, my, my. And so that's what the Lord did to me when I first got on the road to this thing. And I woke up and I was sick because I was asking the Lord about how to act in healing, how to act on the Word of God. I wanted to know, and I found out. And he sort of shamed me in the same way. But he didn't do it to shame me. He taught me the principle of acting on the Word of God, of putting these things together, of believing in my heart, of saying it with my mouth, and then acting like it was true. And I found out, man, every time I did that, I have never done that principle the way the Word says, and never have had it not work. Works every time. Sometimes we mess it up and think we did what it said, and we didn't. I will guarantee you, if you do that, like it said, it is going to work every time. You're never going to find a time that it doesn't work. Now, we know this, the fact, and we talked about, and I want to also go on here tonight a little bit here about this, because in Romans 10:17, it says that, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. So we need to understand this. This is talking about a faith that develops through the hearing of the Word. How does God say faith works? The idea, religion, and when I say religion, I'm talking into Christianity, has many ideas about what faith is. We need to understand, God only has one kind of faith. It is not many kinds of faith. There is only one faith. People say, well, what's your faith? And what they mean is, what denomination, what group are you with? That has nothing to do with faith. That doesn't mean, God doesn't consider that the Hindus or Muslims or any of them have faith. That is not. God only knows faith in his word. That's all there is. So our faith is developed, you know, in the areas. Now, when we develop faith, when we learn by hearing what God's word says, in the teaching of the Word of God, we learn the character of God, we learn about God's love for us and all those things. All those things help develop your faith to what you can ask and believe God for. See, that's why it's good. That's why you can't just have teaching on, like what we're doing here is we're teaching on faith, what faith is and how it works. But in itself, that's not good, because you have to know, what can we believe for? What can I? Where can I stand? We find that by going through the promises of God, learning about the love of God, learning about all kinds of things. We begin to see through the scriptures on how God's character is and our Christian walk. As you develop in your Christian walk, you're going to, you know, when you start out as a young Christian, you know, the things that you'd think are important to believe for, lots of times I look down the road, I think, my God, I will... What was I believing for that for? That would have been more important. But that's, children do the same thing. When you're young, it's a, spiritually, you're many ways no different than you are, than somebody is young physically. What we think is important isn't nearly as important. But as we develop in this, so when we're teaching, I'm teaching you the principles here of how faith works. and how to apply it. So when you operate in the areas of faith, when you develop your faith, it's like Jesus said about to the disciples about asking the mountain to move. I will guarantee you, they probably went, brains went tilt, out of order. And because it's like to them, that was probably, wow, they're looking, the tree's a big deal. And he said, oh, the mountain, you do the same thing here, moves mountains. You know, this is the same thing here. It's the principle of faith. Now, we don't have specifically where it says in the Bible that we have the promise of God to go ahead and you go out here and start moving mountains. Now, do you? It's not there. We know that Jesus used faith to stop storms. How do I know I'm allowed to use that? Well, one of the things that is, we can. Now, but I want you to understand this. No matter what you do in the areas of faith, you always listen to the Holy Spirit. Always. Because sometimes we can move in a direction and it would not be the best to do. And sometimes things don't always have just us in involvement. There could be other things. The Holy Spirit knows and He'll direct us. Now, let's just put it this way. You know, I've told this before, a story, but I want to tell you, it's how faith works. It's learning to operate out of your spirit. And you need to know the Holy Spirit lives inside your spirit. He don't live in your head. He don't live in your thoughts. He never lived there. He never moved there. He never went there. He doesn't sit on your shoulder and talk into your ear. That's a demon. Or somebody that you know who's annoying. He's inside. The Holy Spirit's in the inside, communing with your spirit. You must learn, if you're going to ever walk in areas of faith, you need to learn to listen on the inside. The Bible's not just a book, promise, promise, promise. I just take them like a machine and I do that. We operate, remember this, it's believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. You can't go any further than your heart can go. You can't go any further. You can go confess any old thing you want to confess. But that's not what it's whatever in your heart that you believe and don't doubt and say with your mouth. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart about something about not heading in a direction, your heart's going to have a terrible time trying to go that direction. It won't do it. It's just like with, we talked about years back here when Wanda and I and our kids and we were with my brother and them at the beach, at their beach house and that stuff. And hurricanes came along two times. 2 years we were on the beaches down in Delaware and hurricanes were coming up the coast. And both times those hurricanes hit Ocean City, Maryland, but never came up to Rehoboth. But they were supposed to come directly up the beach, but they didn't. Two times. And I said to him, I said, I'm on vacation here. Because, but you know what? My spirit was clear to say what I was saying. I said, those won't come up here. They're not going to come up here. God's not trying to mess up my vacation. He's got, you know, because he's an act of God, you know, these people, well, you know, God and this, all this. And, you know, they were evacuating and people left and stuff and things moving out of the place because this hurricane's coming. And I said, it's not coming. 2 years in a row. I said, it ain't going to come. I'm standing right going anywhere. That hurricane will not come up here. And they didn't come up. You know, I know my brother said one day, he was just a young Christian then, and my youngest daughter at that time, Elena, had said to him, told him, said, my dad said that hurricane isn't coming up here. It won't be. It won't come up here. But number one, because they had learned that, you know, they learned how faith works. If faith works. But now, when we had the hurricane come up the coast that hit New Jersey so hard here a few years ago, that hurricane was off down off of Florida and was going to come up through, and they were saying about it coming up through. And I began to speak at that hurricane, and I told it to go out to Atlantic. For 3 days, that hurricane stopped, and the forecasters had forecast it was supposed to be already had been come up the coast. It hadn't come. It wasn't coming. And I would talk to that hurricane, and it stopped, it stalled. In fact, at first, it turned and went out some. See, there's all kind of people sitting around praying about that stuff. Prayers don't get much done in that kind of things. It's people who say stuff. These people out here call faith, and what they're doing is trying to get God to do it for them. They call that praying. They're trying to get God. They never believed they received it moved. I'd speak to that storm. And that storm sat down there, and all of a sudden I started getting in my, I just had my spirit, something is wrong here. I knew something is not right. Something's wrong. I knew inside of me, and I just asked the Lord, I said, what is going on? There's something going on here. What's happening? And he said to me, the Lord spoke to me when I asked. Up to that time, I hadn't said anything to him. I said, what's going on? He said, that storm's going to come up the coast. He said, you can't stop this. He said, even the Christians are calling it up here. Now, I thought at the time what Christians calling it up here is because they're stupid saying the wrong stuff. It's what they were doing. But what he's saying, what he really, I found out then, what he meant about that was the fact, is Christians, you know, the church is all messed up and out left field. They're living like hell, and it ain't going to stop. So we're dealing with judgment. We're dealing with judgment. Sometimes you can delay things or stop things for a time. There's things you can get away with, but you need to listen to the Holy Spirit and know what's going on. You're not going to just stop stuff all the time. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If your spirit is clear, it's clear in your spirit, you cannot go against your own spirit. Many people do in their faith, and they say it didn't work. Yes, they went against their own spirit. They're trying to get their spirit to do something, and they're saying things their spirit's not in cooperation with. You need to have it. That's why is faith is based on believing what you're going to say and you don't doubt it. It's not halfway believing it. It's not halfway believing it and just, you know, saying it, thinking it's going to stop. You need to understand it's a huge power. If you think about it, this faith thing is, like I said, all things are possible to him, this belief. There is nothing in this earth that is impossible to do through faith. Nothing. Not anything. And we know this. Christianity has not figured that out yet because they don't understand how faith works. They are always trying to get God to do something when it is us. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever we loose. You have to understand the principle. It's not that we're trying to have God out of the picture. We don't need God. We surely need God. It wouldn't come to pass without His grace working. But His grace is by giving us something. We come to the place where we believe something and don't doubt it at all. So that's why faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And that's why, you know, don't have subjects you don't like to hear in the Bible. This is one of the reasons why faith is so weak in many Christians, because they don't like certain any subject that corrects them. They don't like to listen to it. I don't want the correction stuff. I just want the stuff over here I like to hear. You know, tell me God will do, I can just confess and say things, but don't tell me over here, you know, I ain't allowed to do this or do that, and I can't. I don't want to hear that one, you know. I don't want to know about that. I just want to know about this over here. I'm going to tell you, you got to love the whole counsel of God, because it's all for our good, because it's just like a child growing up, physically. A child grows up when they're small, their emotions and stuff are not under control. There's things about them and and we do not expect that out of them. And we do a lot to, we protect them, you know, we keep them from getting run over out in the street. We go drag them in. When they're 15 years old, we ain't dragging them in off the street, are we? They get tire tracks on them then. It's like, wow, we loved you, child, but what you doing on the street? But see, as you mature and you grow and emotionally and you're developed, remember, spiritually is very much in the same way. We're sort of, from a spiritual standpoint, we can be very sort of childish in how we do things and in our development and in our growth as we're growing up as spiritually. But we need to understand, we need to continue, as if we hear the Word of God and we're continually taught and teach ourselves and feed on the Word, our inner man will develop and mature, and will get mature thinking about things, as I found out. And it doesn't take real long to start getting mature in areas. And the more mature you become in an area, the more mature you become, you will find where God gives you the leadway many times to choose what you want. And you can just like children. We don't take a little child and just let them choose what they want, do we? I know people do that, and it's their lives are a wreck. You know, they have the kids choose whatever, you know, they're 3 years old, you know, and, well, they want this, and, you know, they wanted that. Well, a three-year-old shouldn't be doing it. It's the same way. God protects us, does a lot of things for us. God makes a lot of choices in a way for us when we're little. He'll direct us in things of His choice. But as you mature, you come to the place He realizes, now you know how to make choices. And see, that's where you want to arrive at. You want to arrive at the place where you can make correct choices. The Bible talks about dealing in the areas of the prophets. He said God would do at the prophet's word. At the prophet's word. What the prophet said. What the prophet decided to do, that's what God said. Well, whatever he decides, that's what's going to be done. I remember first reading that stuff, I thought that was really something. Then one day the Lord spoke to me and said, well, what do you want done about this? How would you like to go? Oh, what? He said, yeah, how would you like to go? You tell me what you want and we'll do it that way. I thought, whoa. Well, is number one, I sat down and thought about it, and I talked over with the Lord. I said, you know, about different ways you could do whatever I was done. But I said, this is the best, I believe is the best way to do it. He said, that's the way we'll do it. And everything happened exactly like I had said to him that I wanted to go. Exactly. Everything came to pass exactly how I wanted to go. And so that there's things that we need to know. That this is about developing. See, there's a lot that I think today in the teachings of faith is done and keeps everybody in a babyhood stage. It keeps everybody over in a thing of goo goo ga ga daddy. You know, I go sit on Father Daddy's lap. I'm his little baby, and it's what keeps Christians at. And that's not where you want to stay. That's not where you want to be. He's my father. But isn't it a difference even than the natural? How, you know, when the boy's, you know, 27 years old, he's not sitting over in his daddy's lap. And but we have this Christian idea about God as if we're these little babies. God doesn't view us like that. I look at people on this earth like, you know, over the years of watching mature people mature in ministry and stuff, and different people mature, and how God deals with them. Man, he deals with them more like an equal than he does a, you know, like goo goo gaga. But they don't talk with God. They don't view themselves with God like that, this little baby. Daddy, he's my daddy. And you need to understand, you mature and develop. You know, think about this. We don't have Jesus talked about his father, but he didn't set himself as a little baby when he's in the earth. You know, we've done everything we could to try to keep him in the manger. You know, that's the whole thing. Jesus just in the manger is the most important thing that ever happened, you know, in the church. My God, keep him in the manger. He went and walked around in this earth, and he walked around like a man who was mature, who knew how to do things, and God trusted him. Well, the idea, how could Jesus expect us to do his work if we can't arrive at that point? See, there's a lot that has to change in the mentality of the church. Because religion keeps the idea, we must keep God big, and if we develop too much, oh, we'll think we're too much and we're all going to go under. You know? You know, what's going to happen to you if you mature, then you'll get big-headed. No, most people that I ever met were big-headed, didn't know anything. It wasn't because they were smart. It's because they thought they were smart. It wasn't because they were smart. They thought they were. And so God doesn't have the fear of his children becoming mature. Earthly parents have a terrible time with this stuff, with their own kids. They don't want their kids mature because they always want to be God to them. God doesn't want to be like people do over dominating people. You know, God don't want to dominate people on this earth. He doesn't want to dominate people. He wants people that serve him because they like him, because they love him. That's what he wants. He's not into domination. He's not into that. He think of God's faith toward you and me. Just think about it sometime. The fact that he trusts us at all. Think about it. Think of the stupid mistake. Just go over your own life, the dumb mistake. The things that you've done 27 times when you knew something different, did it wrong in you. All those things. But you know what? Did he quit? He's a God of faith thinking, you know, they're going to catch on. They'll catch on. We just keep giving them another opportunity. He's a God of faith. He's not domineering, and he's not trying to dominate. That's not what he's trying to do. And we got to get this picture. He wants us to mature, that we come to this place where he comes, where faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, that God comes along and takes the most powerful thing that could ever be brought into this earth. It is his word that could cause anything to happen. Nothing is impossible when his word is believed in the heart of a human being, spoken and acted upon. Nothing is impossible. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to hold the word back. You know what he did? He anointed people to preach it. He anointed people to give them the atomic bomb. He did. Think about this. People say you can't misuse the things of God. You sure can. Read the Bible sometime. People misuse God's things. Children of Israel took their authority and said, we want a king. God said, no, you know. God said, you're going to have a king. You're going to get one. It's going to turn out not like you thought. But you can have. People say you can't misuse. Yes, you can. How many times people have abused faith? How many times people took the faith that God gave in the word and just used it selfishly and stuff for themselves? But God still put it in the earth because he told the apostle Peter, he said, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, but if you don't do everything exactly like I want, I'm going to take them back. It's not written in Scripture. Only in religious books it is. You know, God will take it. No, I don't find ever where God takes authority back. When God gets, because the Bible, you know, tells us concerning the promise of God, you know, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But God never, like with Israel, God never removed Israel's authority from them, no matter how they abused it. Even upon judgment, they were still Israel, and they still had the authority of God. They still, what God had given them to walk in was still theirs. They were still the carrier of the covenant. Never changed. It's not going to, God's not going to change, no matter what the church does. All these people that talk about and say, well, when the church gets everything right, Jesus will come back. Oh, go jump. They don't know God. That's what religious people say because they don't know God. God's going to get his job done. He's working with people. Somebody will do what he wants. And there's always the people out here that will walk and fulfill it. But God is out here and he's giving what he has. If he's pulling power back, then I just want you to understand this. Your life will never change. He gives us the word. He gives us revelation. Revelation comes to us. The words of God come to us, and he anoints people to preach those words so we could come into the kingdom, so we could take that faith as the word is preached to us, and we could take that into our hearts and believe it, and we could change things around, and we could change this earth. That's what he put it here for. He put it for that purpose. And instead, the church is waiting for God to change the earth. That's not how it works. That's not faith. Just like with Jesus, and I could go over it again. Jesus just said to the disciples, if you say to this mountain, he just said, all he said was have the faith of God. Have the faith of God, and you know what? You say to the mountain. He didn't say, well, you ask God if it's okay if you talk to the mountain. It's okay. Ask God if it's all right. He didn't. Religion reads all that stuff into us. It makes us skeptics. Religious people will make you a skeptic. They don't lead you to the place and say, my God, let's go talk to a mountain. My God, you get among groups and you do that, and they'll look at you like, oh, see, he's taking it too far now. I just want you to understand, none of us have taken it far enough. We haven't gone far enough with this thing. God's word is phenomenal. And the things that we can change. This is one of the things out of the Lord's talking to me about these things, because in these last days, if we want to change America, we have to come to this kind of faith. America will not be changed on what has been prayed for the last 10 years and talked about for the last 10 years. It won't be changed. We're waiting for God to change America. God's waiting for the church to change America. God's waiting for the church to step up, take their authority. Take the word of God. Start to believe it. Start to say the words of God, what God is saying, what God wants. That's what will change things. That's what turns things around. And that's, we have to come back to that. Is seeing ourselves of who we are. What's the purpose of being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? If you're sitting on a throne, which throne Jesus sits on is the one of the throne of all authority and power in heaven and earth. What does it do any good for you and I to sit there if we just have to keep waiting for him to do something? Well, I might as well just go off someplace else, because that means I don't have authority. The reason he says we're seated there in him is because we're operating under the same authority. It's a delegated power to us. And the church is still waiting for it to get delegated. When's God going to do it? When's he going to make it happen? When's he going to? Well, it's just like the Bible says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their sins. Yeah. He sent his word and delivered them. What did they do? He sent his word. They believed the word. They spoke the word. And then did what the word said. Look at the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. What was their trouble? Well, God sent them a preacher. His name was Moses. And he'd stand up and preach the word to them. And then they would confess something else. And they would believe something else. And they ended up in misery. And then God would be nice enough to let the prophet get him out of trouble. And Moses would stand up and say, oh God, don't kill him, please. Give these ignoramuses an opportunity, Lord. Lord, they're your people, you brought them out. You know, all that stuff. And God said, okay. One day he got fed up and wouldn't listen to Moses. He said, nope, they ain't going to the land, that's it. Why? Because he told him, he said, you were disobedient to me. He said, ten times you disobeyed. What was the disobedience? They were told the truth. They didn't believe the truth. They didn't speak the truth. They didn't act on the truth. They said what they wanted. They griped and moaned. They didn't say what God said. They didn't believe it at all, didn't say it, and then didn't do it. That's what it was. They never acted in faith. Never acted in faith. They never acted in faith. Yet, the word was preached to them. Now, did God pull it out of the earth and say, well, they ain't going to ever take these people. Nobody's going to ever go in the promised land. No. Nope. God sent the word in the next generation. I'm going to bring them in. And what did he do? He had another preacher. Joshua. But remember, Moses preached till those people came up there again. Joshua took over and took those people into the land. God's plan, God fulfilled. There's a people who believed, who said what God said, and went across the Jordan. Hey, the first generation had the opportunity to do it. They chose not to. They loved Egypt. I don't want to be in love with Egypt. I want to go in the land. Say, I don't want, in this generation, I'm not going to do what a lot of Christians are doing. They love Egypt. They love the land of sin and they want to go to it. Now, I really, all this stuff I don't have in my notes and teach you here. I'm talking about this, but I just feel these things because these are things that I have known for a long time in my Christian walk, but I realize they're not being said. And I was meditating and thinking about this today, is getting over these areas again, because it's just like with Kenneth Hagin. I thought about today, I thought, when the Lord spoke to him and said, well, he said, yeah, as far as you know, you're believing. And I thought today, I started looking over things and thought, you know, there's things that need to be talked about, things that need to be said to us that lead us to a place of faith, of seeing the position that God put us in. How much God trusts us. And he gave us his word. And let his word develop in you. Let it work in you. Where you're not sitting around looking at God all the time. That you're looking at what he said and saying, look, I'm going to take that. I'm believing what he said. And I'm going to put to work. See, learning the character of God. You know, the church and stuff that I come out of as a kid, they didn't know the character of God. Like if you just sit down and say, God wants you to have a nice new car, that would have been questionable very much whether God would have wanted you. And if you would have a new car, it would definitely have been a cheap model. That would have been the thing. And see, what that left at was this, is they didn't know the character of God or how much he liked it. It wasn't preached to them how good he was. All they'd say, the Lord's merciful, the Lord's kind. They were words spoken, but they were not words believed in their heart and said with their mouth without doubting. It wasn't that. When they talked about it, even today, most people talk God will supply your needs, what it takes to get by. And see, when you think that way, what happens? When you believe that way, you know what? You're going to talk that way. When you ask, when you pray and believe you receive, you're going to receive on the level that you're believing at. You're going to be at that level. That's where you're going to be. You're not going to talk out of a level that you don't believe in. That's why we need to be careful of what we listen to people tell us about God and things that they say to us. There's people I've learned a long time ago. I know how to turn off my ears and not pay any attention to what people are talking about. I've learned how to not pay any attention to it, knowing, realize what they're saying. I've learned how to, preachers can talk in segments. I can just turn them off to not listen to thing they're saying about. So, might be other areas they know what they're talking about. Certainly they don't. I learn how to turn them off because I don't want those things in my ears. I don't want them to corrupt my believing. You don't want your believing corrupt. You always want to have a good impression about God and God's doing things for you and God's working on your behalf. You always want to see, you know, he wants you to succeed. He hasn't called you to failure. He wants you to succeed at what you're doing. He's learning. He wants in this life to start to believing concerning him and things around him. Think about it. He told us to pray for the leaders of our nations and for the kings and men in authority. He said, so you can live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. You know, do you hear most Christians are saying what's supposed to be going on in earth this last days? Oh, they're looking for nothing but turmoil. Oh, so in other words, praying for the leaders ain't going to work. See, the reason it doesn't, the church don't believe what the Bible says. It says so we can live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Can we turn this thing around? We sure can if we start believing what the Bible says instead of believing what all these people say. Look, I believe in the book of Revelation. I believe what's coming on the scene, but it ain't left yet. I believe what Kenneth Hagin said, as long as I'm here, the devil ain't taking over. Well, as long as Ed here, the devil can't take him over. He can't take me over because he'd have to take Jesus Christ over to take me over. Because I believe what Jesus said about it. He ain't got no authority over me. Jesus is the one who has authority over me, not the devil. But most of